And so I like to sometimes start off with a little story, a joke, may have nothing at all to do with my talk, but that's okay. So there was this woman, and she died, and she went to heaven. And God says to her, "Wait, you're not supposed to be here yet. You know, you have like another 20 years. So go back. I'm going to send you back to earth. You got another 20 years. So she goes back to earth, and she thinks, "I'm going to be here another 20 years. I want to look good. You know, I don't want." So she went to a plastic surgeon, and she had everything done. She had the face, the boobs, you know, all done. Changed her hair, and she's feeling really good because she looks great. And then she walks out, and she gets hit by a bus. And she goes to heaven, and she says to God, she says, "You told me I was going to live another 20 years. And God said, "I didn't recognize you." So, you know, anyway, I just think sometimes I love laughter. But if you were at my workshop yesterday, you know, I think laughter is a fabulous tool for our spiritual life as well as anything else. And, you know, I also believe in being practical. One of my favorite things is when I started in Unity, it was practical Christianity. And then they changed it to practical spiritual. Whatever it is, it's practical. And I think that's what sets us apart from so many other different paths. Because if what we learn here doesn't help us in life, it's just not doing its job. And for me, one of my big lessons in life is letting go. I always say, when I die, it's going to say, "She finally let go." Because I like to hold on to things until I have to let go. And, you know, when I first heard the thing, let go and let God, I actually first heard it in 12-step, but I've heard it in Unity a lot. And I remember I was new. I had just had this experience and had come to believe in a higher power. And they said to me I had to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. So I woke up, I was supposed to go to work, and I thought, you know, "God, am I supposed to go to work? What am I supposed to do?" Because they said, "Turn your life over to God." So I'm waiting for an answer. And so I'm sitting in my chair and meditating, and I'm waiting for God to tell me, do I go to work, don't I go to work? I mean, that's how new I was. I really didn't get the message, and nothing happened. So I called a friend of mine, and I said, "You know, I'm sitting here waiting for God to tell me what to do today, and God isn't talking to me. And so should I go to work? What should I do?" And she said, "You know," I said, "this let go and let God. I'm trying to let go and let God, but God is not responding. So I think I'm just going to sit here until God gives me an answer." And she said, "You know, don't sit there all day. You're going to be waiting a long time." So she says, what let go and let God means is, we do the next right thing in front of us in life. We take the next step, and we leave the results of what we do up to God. So you get up, and what's the next thing I had to do? I had to brush my teeth because I was going to work. I had to get showered and dressed and go to work. And what happens as a result of what I do, I leave up to God. Because I don't know what God's will for me is sometimes. I do know that God's will for me is always my highest and best. I know that. Everything that has happened to me in my life, even before I knew or believed that there was a God, was for my best, even if it didn't look like it. You know, we just have to go in faith. And the song you sang about trust, you know, for me, trust is the most important thing. It's actually more important than faith. I can have faith in God, but do I trust God? You know, trusting in God is walking forward and doing what you believe you need to do and trusting that whatever comes of it, whether it's what you want or not, is going to be what's best for you. And I love the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt because to me, it represents the ultimate letting go. So, you know, we just know the story. The Israelites are slaves in Egypt, and Moses hears he's got to lead them out, and he goes to the Israelites. I grew up Jewish, by the way. He goes to the Israelites, and he says, "Come on, you know, we're going to the promised land." Now, they're in Egypt, and Egypt, metaphysically, represents the material world. So they're living in this material world. They're slaves. They are slaves, but they have a house. They have a job. You know, they get food. So they're thinking they're pretty good, and Moses says, "We're going into the unknown to go to the promised land, and they all say, no, we're not. They don't want to go. You know, so those 10 plagues not only had to convince the Pharaoh to let him go, it had to convince the Israelites that they needed to go. So they leave, and they leave murmuring and complaining. They do that a lot. If you read the Old Testament, they're murmuring and complaining a lot. And if you grow up Jewish, you know that we do murmur and complain a lot. So it's just throughout history. That's just the way it is. So they leave, and they get to the Red Sea. Now they're like, you know, you told us to leave. We left. We left everything. We got some animals and stuff with us. And now we're at the Red Sea. The Pharaoh is coming. He's going to kill us all. And in front of us is this Red Sea. What are we supposed to do? So if you ever watched the movie Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, you know that he did this big thing, and the Red Sea split, and the Israelites walked through. And as a kid, those were always the pictures. And then, you know, the Pharaoh comes, and the waters come over the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh, the Egyptians die. Well, there was a recent movie called Of Gods and Kings, and it was a remake of the story. And what's interesting, this is a new movie, fairly new movie. In this movie, they get to the Red Sea, the storm is going, the sea is really rough, the Egyptians are coming. And Moses gets this insight, and he decides that they have to go into the Red Sea and to begin to cross. Now the sea has not parted, and the water is really rough because the storm is happening. And he goes and starts walking into the water and convinces them, even though they're murmuring and complaining continually, to do this. And they walk into the water, and they are up to their waist in the water before the Red Sea parts. And then they walk through, and of course the Pharaohs don't get through. Well, for me, that is what life is about. We sometimes have to walk forward into the water. The seas don't part. We don't make a decision, and sometimes everything parts. But if we have faith and we trust in God, we can walk forward knowing that God is there, and that whatever happens, whether it's what we want or what we don't want, it doesn't matter. It's going to be for our highest good. And for me, how I know that is I look back to times in my life when things did not go the way I wanted, and they turned out to be the best. And we did this a lot in the workshop. I mean, I have so many stories of what I didn't get that I thought I wanted and was really the best for me. And sometimes it's hard to see. So mentioned we had a meditation center. But before that, I was living in Miami, and I was an insurance agent. And 1992, Hurricane Andrew hit. And my office was down by the Homestead Air Force Base. And if you know anything, the hurricane, the Air Force Base was destroyed, the military was gone, the retirees were gone, everything was gone, my office was gone, it was just really bad. But before that, I used to think, I love this job, I love my job. I mean, it was a great job. And then Hurricane Andrew happened, and the whole industry changed. Besides the fact I lost the office and all of that. And I thought, this is like the worst thing that has ever happened. As it turned out, it was the best thing, because shortly after that, my husband had this vision about this meditation center, and had I still liked my job, I would have probably said, well, I can't do that, we're not doing that. But I was like, I don't like this anyway. And so we left, but I had to give up my income. And we had to trust, and we had to open up this place and trust that God was going to be there. And we did. And it was called Vision Farms, because my husband had a vision, and so this meditation center was a vision. And we struggled. For the first 18 months, it was really hard, and we had to keep believing that this is what God wanted us to do, and so we kept going forward. And then what happened is other groups started using us, Buddhist groups, Jewish groups, Catholic groups, 12-step groups, and we started doing really well. But then, you know, 10 years later, I get a message to go to ministerial school. And I'm like, well, what are we going to do with this center? I am the cook, I'm the office person, I'm all this kind of stuff. And everything happened for me to go. It's a long story, but I'll tell you every single thing that had to happen at a certain time happened, so that when it was time for me to leave, I packed up my truck. I looked like the Beverly Hillbillies. I had the mattress on top of the truck. I had things all over the place, and I took off for Kansas City. And the right and perfect people came at the right and perfect time to take over what I did. So years ago, I was an atheist, but something happened to me, which now I look at and I see how this was a perfect example of this whole idea of letting go. So my children were little, and I didn't have a lot of money, and I decided to take them to Disney World. We lived in Miami. And Disney World back then had these tickets. They had A, B, C, D, and so you would always use the good tickets, and you'd always have tons of rides left of the bad tickets, and the kids didn't want to go on them. And I was trying to figure out what to do. So there was a Circus World not far from Disney World. And the Circus World was a Ringling Brothers thing, and they had a participating circus. And so what they would do is they had a big top, and they would have all the acts, and they would have people come from the audience to do the different acts. So they had somebody come to be the lion tamer, they had clowns, and they had people volunteer. Well, if you've ever seen movies about circus, usually the final act is the trapeze act. That's the big deal. And every trapeze act has an older person who's experienced, a guy, a young guy, and then a woman, a beautiful woman. So I'm a big movie buff. I love the movie Big Top with Burt Lancaster, Tony Curtis, and Gina Lola Brigida. So I'm going to call this trapeze team Tony, Burt, and Gina. So they asked for a volunteer. Now, I am very short. I know you can't tell when I'm up here. But I am like 5 feet. So when you're short and you're looking at life from a lower level, you tend to have a fear of heights because you're not looking at anything from a higher height. So my kids are that age. If you ever had boys, you may understand this. They were like 8 and 10, and they decided it would be a good thing to volunteer their mother, who they knew was afraid of heights, to go to do the trapeze. So they're volunteering me, you know, pick her, really making a big deal about it. The ringmaster thinks this is so funny that these little kids think their mother should go up on the trapeze, that he picks me. And I'm sitting there walking up and I'm thinking, how do I get out of this so I can kill these children? You know, I need to survive because they are going to die. And so I'm walking up there, and my mind is going, how I'm going to kill my children and get away with it. So I get up to the bottom of the ladder, and Bert is there. And Bert says to me, take off your shoes, climb up on the ladder. Gina is up there. Gina will tell you what to do, and then you're going to swing out, and Tony's going to catch you. I'm thinking, on what lifetime is that going to happen? So the next thing I know, I'm climbing up the ladder. And I get up to the top, and it is really high. I mean, even if I wasn't short, it would be high. And even though there was a net, it was really high. And I thought, so what? There's a net. I'll fall in the net. I'll bounce out of the net. I'll fall on my head, and I'm still going to be dead. The end result is the same. With or without a net, I will probably not survive this. So I get up there on the platform, and Gina says to me, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to take the trapeze. I'm going to swing it out. It is going to swing back. You're going to grab it. You're going to swing out. Tony is going to be swinging out. Tony's going to yell, let go. And at which point, you're going to let go of your trapeze, put your hands out, and Tony's going to grab you. I am thinking, on what? What? My mind is like, I am not going to drag. I'm not going to grab the trapeze. If I don't grab the trapeze, I can't be swinging out there, right? So I'm up on the platform, and Gina, you know, swings out the trapeze, and she gets into the trapeze. And the next thing I know, she's put my hands on the trapeze and kind of pushed me out. And now I'm swinging across the big top, and everybody looks really far. But I can hear my children laughing. And it got much worse. So I hear them laughing, and so I swing out, swing back, I swing out, and Tony screams, "Let go." And I scream, "Hell no." There's no way I'm letting go. There's no way. So I'm swinging back. Tony swings back. Tony comes back. He screams to me, "Let go." Now the words are getting a lot juicier. Every time he screams, "Let go," I have another profanity to scream at him. So I'm going. Now everybody in the circus is laughing. I can still hear my children laughing louder than anybody. They tell the story to their kids because they still think it's so funny. So we're out there. Tony thinks this woman is crazy. She is never going to let go. So he goes back to his platform. He's done. Now I'm there all by myself. I'm up there swinging. There's nobody at the other platform. There's no one to catch me. The only hope I have is falling, and I'm sure I'm going to die. So I am swinging, swinging, swinging. And what happens, if you don't know, with a trapeze, if you're not really moving it, it stops. Now I am hanging over the circus, not moving anywhere. Everybody is laughing. I have visions of all kinds of things. My contact lenses are going to fall out on someone's forehead. What's going to happen when I drop? And then what happened is my hands got so tired. And my shoulders got so tired. And it got so difficult to hold on. Now, isn't that the way it is with life sometimes? We hold on to something, a job, a house, a relationship, whatever, and we're holding on, and it does not work for us. It is not working. And yet, we hold on, and we insist on holding on. And what happens is, eventually, the pain gets so bad that we have no choice but to let go. Now, it would be a lot easier if we would let go before we went through all that pain, because the end result becomes the same. You know, God's will is done in our life, no matter how much we fight it or not. So I decide I have no choice. I have to let go. I couldn't hold on anymore, and I just thought, I'm going to die because I'm going to fall in that net. I'm going to fall out of the net, because when they fall in the net, they just bounce back out. You know, they fall in, they bounce out. I think, I'm not going to be bouncing out. So I fall into the net. And what happened was the net came up and enfolded me. And I realized years later, that's God. That's how God works in our life. We let go, no matter how scary it is, and we go forward doing what we believe is God's will for us. And God's grace comes up and enfolds us. You see, God's will never takes us where God's grace does not keep us. You know, that is just the way it is. And yet, our fear keeps us from doing that. So when we have a deep faith in God, and when we truly trust God, then we can let go before we maybe go through all of that pain. Because God is always with us. For me, God is love. And love never lets you down. God loves never lets you down. And so I'd like to do a little meditation. So I invite you to close your eyes a moment, take a few deep breaths, and bring to mind maybe something you're going through now. It might be worry over someone in your family. It might be a job description, a relationship, whatever it is. We know what we're holding on to. We hear the little nudges from God, and yet we insist we are going to hold on. So I want you to take a deep breath and ask yourself this. Either God is everything or God is nothing. And if we believe that God is everything, and we know that God is love and light and wisdom and power, strength, why do we fear letting go? God is this strength that allows us to walk into that water even if we have to go to where it's up to our waist, knowing that the water will part, the net will engulf us, and we will be okay. So I want you now to just spend a couple of minutes, whatever came to your mind, and just visualize that net of God's grace enfolding you, keeping you safe, protected, and always looking out for you, for your good. One of my favorite affirmations is, this too is good. This too is God. And this too is meant for me. So just affirm that while sitting in the silence. This too is good. This too is God. And this too is meant for me. And so we release and we let go. And we take our faith and put feet on it. And it becomes trust as we walk forward doing God's will, God's time, and God's way. And for that, we say thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your